Proverbs chapter 3 for the message tonight. Very wonderful passage, very special passage that I enjoy here, and I trust that God will use it to speak to our hearts tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Our Father, we thank you so much tonight for the wonderful privilege we have to serve a great and wonderful God. We do thank you for peace. We thank you for what you do in our lives. Obviously, without a doubt, we have a lot to be thankful for. We serve a great and wonderful God. And though we live in a world that many things we don't understand, we know that our God is in full control. And I pray tonight that you would take this wonderful passage, that you might use it in our own lives and help us each in whatever we're facing in life. Thank you for the wonderful privilege to preach the word of God. I pray you'll take me as your servant, cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, then fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I travel quite a bit, and when you travel a lot, you go to different churches, you meet different people. Outside of witnessing, I spend the majority of my time among and around Christian people. I don't know if there's ever been a time in my lifetime where I have seen more Christian people unhappy in life. Now, without a doubt, you would agree with me tonight that we live in a world that it doesn't take a whole lot to bring unhappiness if you get your happiness from what the world produces. So we've got to understand. And it's an amazing thing when you travel, and sometimes especially travel to the West Coast, and you're on a plane and you're thinking a little bit, and you think about God and you think about his greatness and you think about just the wonderful salvation that he's provided for us in his son Jesus Christ. And you think about if God gives us his very best and he saves us and he gives us from his word a picture of what heaven's going to be like and what we're going to have someday because he's purchased us and we belong to him. And you think about that, and then all you have to think for a moment is that obviously God intended when he saved us and left us here on earth, he expects us to be able to endure and last and even enjoy being here, because our joy doesn't come from things around us. It comes from our relationship with him. And we find out that people are unhappy today. And there are a lot of things you can mention about why people are unhappy. There are people today that are unhappy because of their home situation. Obviously, the devil is out to destroy the home. And he's done a good job in a lot of situations. And it brings about a lot of unhappiness when there's problems in the home. There are a lot of people today that are unhappy because of their job situation. They don't like their job, or they lost their job, or they don't like their boss, and that brings about unhappiness to them. There are people today that we find that are unhappy because of their financial situation. There are a whole lot of people today that are miserable. As a matter of fact, we let our finances keep us from enjoying the Almighty God. But I believe without a doubt it is the will of God that every child of God who belongs to him that God, in spite of this world, and it gets worse all the time. And by the way, if you don't know by now, it's not going to get better. All right, this world is not going to improve. We're going to continue to see because of sin where it's going. But the God who created the world and the God who loved the world enough to save us out of this miserable world wants us, wherever we are in our situation, to understand life can be enjoyed. Life can be full. Life can be satisfied when I take my eyes off the world and start looking unto him. And years ago, I believe it was in 1990, we were going through some things in life. As a matter of fact, in 1990 was when Jeanette first got breast cancer in April of 1990. And I developed this passage way back then in 1990. And it's meant a lot to me over the years about how do you live a satisfied life in a miserable world? How do I live life to its fullest, even though the things around me are getting worse all the time? Well, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, the richest man that ever lived, a man who went through everything in life, in these 10 verses, he gives us a formula of how to live a good life, a satisfied life. How many would want to live a good life? I'm going to give you some things from biblical principles from this passage that I guarantee if every man, every woman, every boy or girl says, I'm going to put this into practice. I'm having a hard time in life. I'm going through some things in life. May have some family problems. May have some financial problems. May have a job problem. May have a lot of things going on. But I believe the Word of God has the answer to every situation I face. And I'm going to take these practical precepts, these principles, and I'm going to put them in my life, and I guarantee you, if your circumstances don't change, God will make life worth living. How do I live a satisfied life in this jungle in which I'm living? Well, here's some practical precepts. There are 10 verses here, and there's a principle in every two. You divide them into two verses. We'll come up with five principles that I'll get to very quickly here and show us what must happen. Now, the world's not going to change. It's not going to get any better. God may not change my circumstances, but a good God, and that's who we serve, a wonderful God, wants me to live life to the fullest in spite of what's around me. All right, he gives us five things here, five principles for living a satisfied life. He said in verse number one, my son, forget not thy law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Here's the first principle. Here's where it starts. How do I live in my situation life to the fullest, a satisfied life? Here's what the Bible says. Start here. Keep his commandments. Now let me pause for a second. Nobody, know how much money you have, how good your health may be, whatever's going in life, nobody is ever going to live a satisfied, wonderful, fulfilling life without keeping his commandments. He says, keep my commandments. All right, here's where I begin. In other words, here's what he's saying. Let everything you do in this life be ruled by the Word of God. Not by my feelings, not by my opinions, not by what other people think. I've got to have a pattern that I'm going to live my life according to the inspired Word of God. Here's where I'm going to start. If I go contrary to that, I'm going to look for happiness in something else. But if I start out by saying, I'm determined as a child of God, I'm going to keep his commandments. If the Word of God is that important to me in my life, here's some things I must do with the Word of God. Number one, I need to listen to it. Every time the Word of God is preached, every time it is taught, every time you read it, I've got to listen to it. Once I listen to it, I've got to learn it. Then I've got to love it. And then if I listen to it, learn it, and love it, bless God, I ought to live by it. You agree to that? Now, verse 2 shows me something that we're all striving for. If I keep his commandments, here's the promise from the word of God that's going to happen to me, which is going to make me a little bit more happy. Two things he promises to the child of God who keeps his commandments. The first thing he says here is for length of days and long life. Who's in here that's looking to leave this world soon, quickly? How many are so tired of this world that you just like to die? How many would like to live a long life? Everybody, right? Some of these young people here talking about all those old folks, but you determine that I want to live a long life. You may be young right now, or you may be middle-aged right now, you may be Bert's age right now, but whatever it is, you say, I want to live as long as I can on this earth. Well, here's a promise from the Word of God. Keep his commandments, and God says it will lengthen your days on earth. It'll do more than running, more than lifting weights, more than being on vitamins, more than being on supplements, more than all the things that we do for one purpose. We're trying to live longer. Well, he said, here's something to help you. Do right. Keep my commandments and let the one who gives life help you live a little bit longer. All right, so the first thing, keep my commandments. He said, what will it do? It will lengthen our days. Then he goes on to say, not only will it lengthen our days, but it says it will strengthen our days, and peace shall they add to thee. Oh, if there's ever something we are longing for in life today, whatever age we may be, we need the peace of God. Oh, this is a troubled world. It's hard to do anything. It's hard to turn on the television. It's hard to go to bed at night. It's hard to send your kids to school without being troubled in our souls. Well, God says, keep my commandments. I will lengthen your days and I will strengthen your days. I'll give you peace where you can't find it in anything else. All right? So we want to live a fulfilled life in a troubled world. We got to get back to the book. We got to get back. Anybody who goes contrary to the word of God, get ready to have some trouble in your life. Trouble. Doesn't make any difference. And by the way, you can't eliminate that by trying to do something else. The more we drift away from God's holy word, the more trouble we're going to have. And I'm a firm believer that God will allow you to shorten your life by the more foolish you act in this world. The more contrary you go against God's word, the quicker you can leave here. And I believe God lengthens life and God strengthens life. When we determine, I'm going to listen to his word, I'm going to live by it, I'm going to love it, I'm going to learn it, because it's the beginning of the formula for a satisfied life. Learn the Bible. Don't let this book just be a book. Let it be the book. Every decision you make in life, let it be determined by the precious word of God. Number two. Verses 3 and 4. How do I live a satisfied life, a full life in a troubled world? Well, I keep his commandments. Secondly, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. The second way to have a satisfied life is develop some character. He mentions two words, truth and let mercy and truth forsake. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. What's the products of character? That's what he gives us here. He says character, real character. Now keep in mind, we're talking about having a satisfied life. He said develop some character. Here's what character is made up of. First of all, character is made up of selflessness. You want to enjoy life? Stop thinking about you and start thinking about other people. Some of the happiest people in this world are people who are always looking out for other people. When you start me, myself, and I, you start what I want out of life, what's in it for me, you're not gonna have a satisfied life. We've got to understand that God says, let there be some mercy. Let you be known as a person who is selfless, not selfish. The Apostle Paul put it this way when he was writing to the church of Philippi. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Would to God that we would develop some people who had enough character to be selfless instead of selfish. We've raised up a generation of selfish Christian people who live day by day for what is best for them. God saved people to be servants like him, to look out what is best for other people. So character, the products of character, it starts with mercy, selflessness. And then it says truth. Truth has to be sincerity. You want to live a satisfied life? Be a man, woman, or young person who tells the truth. I've lived long enough, 41 years of being a Christian, been around enough people, that I have literally met more liars among professing Christians than I have lost people. That's sad. If we keep in mind, if we are not telling the truth, we tend to forget that the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, who brings about conviction and guilt. And no convicted person who doesn't get it right can ever be happy. So develop some character. I'm going to be selfless, and I'm going to be sincere. I'm going to be a man or woman or boy or girl who tells the truth. Tells the truth. Young people, the foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Every child will do something foolish, but always learn to tell the truth. That's one thing we've always taught our kids. Be truthful. Tell the truth at any, always tell the truth. And would to God that we teach that to Christian people today, to learn to be men, women, boys, and girls who tell the truth. Character. Develop some character. Verse 4 says, if I do that, if I have the products of character, which is selflessness and sincerity, he says, notice what character, the results of having good character, what he promises in his word. And this will make us happy. He said, if I'm that kind of a person, verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understandings in the sight of God and man. If I have character and I live a selfless life and a sincere life where I'm telling the truth at all times, at all costs, God promises that I'm going to find favor where I start in the sight of God. In other words, I'll be able to pray, I'll be able to preach, I'll be able to praise with fullness in my heart, that there's nothing between me and God. And then God says, I'll make it possible for you to find favor in the sight of man. You don't have to go around trying to convince people to praise you or honor you. God says, if you have some character, I'll make you this promise. You'll be right with me, and then I'll make you right with mankind. It's amazing what people do today to win the favor of man, rather than understanding, if I have good character, which means I'm right with God, and God will take care of man. Amen. Number 3, this is loaded. How do I live a satisfied life, a well-pleasing life, a life that brings joy when my circumstances are not right? I'm going to keep his commandments. I'm going to develop some character. And then the Bible says in verses 5 and 6, have true confidence. And the reason I don't say true confidence, because people have confidence in a lot of things, but it's not true confidence. And he tells us in these two verses what true confidence is. It's not in people. It's not in things. It's not in my ability. True confidence is described here in verses 5 and 6. The first thing he said is, let your dependence be upon your Savior. Notice what? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If I'm in this world, my confidence has to be in my Savior. I've got to believe that God can take me through anything I'm going through in life. All right, he said, look at that verse again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Notice this. And lean not unto thine own understanding. If my dependence is upon my Savior, I've got to come to a point where my distrust is in self. I can't trust in me. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Most of us, if we're honest, don't find a whole lot wrong with us. We think we're always right about everything, and when we start trusting in self and not depending upon our Savior, we're going to bring about misery in our lives. So true confidence is I've come to the point in my life where I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. I know that the heart is deceitful above everything and desperately wicked. I've learned to make no provision for the flesh, have no confidence in the flesh, because I can't trust the flesh. So I give every day of my life, and I'm going to depend upon someone who has never failed, not one time, never broken a promise, and he's there all the time. So I'm going to distrust self, put my dependence upon my Savior. And then he goes on to say what happens at that point. He says in verse number 6, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Let my desire be for the Lord. And if my desire is to do that which please him, keep in mind I started out by keeping his commandments, and therefore the Holy Spirit of God lives in me, and therefore I'm going to have a desire to not do what I want to do. My desire is always going to be what he wants to do, what pleases him. Then as I walk in this life, guess who's going to direct me? Every step that I take, God's going to direct me because my dependence is upon him. That means I get to the point in my life where we believe that he is able to do what he will, wise enough to do what is best, and powerful enough to do what he has promised. Total dependence is upon him. Number 4, I'm talking about how to live a satisfied life in a terrible world where we are today. Keep his commandments, develop some character, have true dependence, confidence in him. And then number 4, avoid being conceited. We could park there for a while. Avoid being conceited. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Now, what does it mean to avoid being conceited? The Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due times. Humility is something that is needed to live a satisfied life. We need people to come to a point in life where I learn how to be humble. I learn to have a humble spirit. So to avoid being conceited, I need to learn how to be humble. Then he goes on and say, verse 7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know what he's saying? If I'm going to have a life that's fulfilling, a life that's happy, I've got to have a humble spirit, and by the way, a humble spirit will always keep me coming to the Lord, seeking his will in my life. But I not only need to be humble in this life, I need to be holy. God says, if you want to be happy in your mind, you need to resist sin and have a reverence for your Savior. God is still a God today who is holy. Holy. And he wants us to be holy. It's amazing how many people can live contrary to the Bible, live a sinful life, and then tell the whole world that they're holy. God says holiness is what I require to bring about a fulfilled life. You've got to resist things in this world that draw you away from me and learn how to be humble, to be holy. And then the third thing it says in that verse, I'll make you healthy. I'll make you healthy. I'll bring about peace and joy and strength and hope in your life. Life can be lived to the fullest when God's people, I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about people who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who are saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, and dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, tossed into the devil's world, where so many things are against us, but God's still in control. And he says, you want to be happy? Keep my commandments. And here's what I'll do. He said, I'll lengthen your days. That brings about happy. I asked, what's the name, Hezekiah? When Hezekiah was about to die, and Isaiah came to him. Imagine there saying, set your house in order. You're going to die. And he turned over and started begging God and pleading. When he came back and told him, God says he's going to give you 15 more years. He was a happy man. People want to live a long time. Well, God says, keep my commandments. You don't keep my commandments, your life will be shortened. And by the way, what I'm thinking about here with the young people here, that's why God says, obey your parents. You live longer. I really believe that. Many of you know my daddy. He died at 102. He used to sit right there on that row and interrupt the service anytime he wanted to. When you're 102, you can do that. And I can, many times I've gone to see him, and he would tell me something that was so off the chart. I used to pay his rent for him. He's, Dad, are you looking? I used to pay his rent for him for years and years and years. I've been taking care of my dad since I was 6 years old working out. And I'd go over there sometime and he said, I'm the man of this house. I know the real estate. I mean, I know the manager. You put me in the car and take me down there. I'll tell him what to do. Don't you tell me what to do, boy. I rule this house. You know, I would say, yes, sir, Daddy. Yes, sir, Daddy. You rule the house, Daddy. You rule the house. Never one time ever. Talk back to my daddy or my mom. She died at 90. He died at 102. My wife tells me all the time, you don't live a long life because they live. But that, don't count on that because I had some other errors in life that God's working on. But you live a long time, and God promises that when you keep his commandments. Let him lengthen the days. Let him strengthen our days. Let him bring joy in a situation. And work to have character. God, learn to be selfless and learn to be sincere and tell the truth. And learn to put your confidence in the Lord. Depend upon the Savior. Distrust yourself. I mean, desire him and let him direct our paths. And then avoid being conceited. Learn to be humble people, holy people that God can make healthy. He can make my soul healthy by giving me peace and strength and joy. And then he had something else that's in here that people, that I like this part, that people don't really, really think about. And this is probably violated all the time in churches all over the world. The fifth thing he says, if I want to live a good life, I must honor the Lord with my capital. And I put that C in there so it'd have all C's. You can't rob God as a Christian and be happy. Nobody. Some of the most unhappy people I know are people who have violated the word of God by not learning to give properly. Listen, if a man robs a bank and get caught, where does he go? Jail. You ever thought about if a man robbed God, where does he go? Into misery. Sometimes he goes to the hospital. Sometimes he goes to the garage. Sometimes he goes to the dentist. Sometimes he goes to some place where his capital has to go because he took it from God. You want to be happy, and this is sincere. This is not just a preacher talking. I'm telling you from my heart. I don't know of any happy Christian who robs God. You can't take God's tithe and go through life happy. It doesn't work that way. So I'm glad 3 weeks after I got saved, I learned how to give properly. Pay your tithes, give your offerings, honor the Lord, because then when you have a major thing happening in your life, you obligate God, who created the world, owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, the gold and silver is his, to take care of your situation. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So we have to learn how to give properly. If I learn to give properly, then I will get prosperity from God. Verse 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Boy, I could stay a long time talking about the blessings of God. But I'm going to tell you something. And I've pastored this church 30 years. I've been around here 6 more years. And preached all places around the world. I'm going to tell you something. Some of the most unhappy Christians I know in the world are people who don't give properly, but they're always trying to get prosperity. Learn to honor God. Pay him what his. Learn to give sacrificially. Learn to give by faith. Give by grace. And when you get your calculator, as I've done over the years, and start calculating what you have and what you have to do with it, and it doesn't add up, look over this side where you said, I paid my tithes, gave my offerings, gave to missions, did what I was supposed to, so I don't have to figure it out now. I just look up to God, who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he has promised that if I give properly, then I will get prosperity, which comes from him. Now, he may not give you everything you want, but he'll give you everything you need every single time. This is a miserable world we live in today, and it seems like it's getting worse all the time. But God wants every saved person, every child of God, to learn how to live in this world and have a fulfilled life where you can go to bed at night, get up in the morning, no matter what you see on television, no matter what you see around you, no matter what's going on in your life is fulfilled because you keep his commandments. You've developed some character in your life. You avoid being conceited. Your confidence is in him. And yes, every Sunday, I've learned to give properly. And God has demonstrated that I can get prosperity that comes from him. And though I don't have everything in life I want, it may not be as healthy as I want to be. I may have problems in the home, or problems on the job, or problems here and there. But I'll tell you something. I wake up every single morning and say, God is good. Life is worth living, though it's difficult sometimes to deal with everything we face in life. I wonder tonight, when you think about your life, your situation, where you are today, can you say, I'm living life to the fullest, even though I have problems all around me, because I do keep his commandment. I do depend upon him. I do honor him with my capital. I avoid being conceited. And I'm a man, woman, or a girl that's sincere and selfless. And God has given me a fulfilled Christian life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, life is a jungle today. If you look at it from the world's point of view, there's so many things going on, so many difficult things to deal with. But this inspired, infallible Word of God gives us a formula, a very simple, practical, profound formula for living life to the fullest. And it tells us to start by keeping your commandments, developing some character. And God, help us to have our total confidence in you. Avoid being conceited. Show some humility, holiness, and you give us a healthy, fulfilled life. And then help us to honor you with our capital, that we might live life to the fullest. And we'll thank you for it. Now, there be one here tonight who's never been saved. They have no idea what a good life is until they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.